Okay, this week's parsha is parsha Vayikra. In the fourth chapter of Vayikra, there's a whole list of different types of korban chatat. What happens if the whole tzibur does a chet? What happens if this segment, that, etc. So one of the examples is in Perek Dal Pasuk Chaf Bet. The pasuk says, "Asher nasi yechta ba'asa chat mikol mitzvot Hashem alokav." If the nasi, if the leader, if the king, if the melech sins, so this is the korban he has to bring. So if you look at the rest of the chapter, all the other three, four examples that it has of korbanot chatat, it introduces it with the word im, if. Here we have the word asher. So what is going on? That's something that all the mafarshim have to deal with. So Rashi tells you, Asher nasiyachta pasuk chafet. Rashi bashon ashrei, praise, right? Praiseworthy. How lucky we are that we have a nasi who sins and he's going to come vashem. He's going to say, "I'm guilty and help me out and tell me what to do." And we're going to tell him, "Oh, bring this korban." So Rashi comments, Ashrei hador shanasi shelo noten lev lavi kapara shkagato kavachomer shmicharid al zonotav. Praise it be the generation where the nasi knows that he has to come atone for his inadvertent mistakes. Kavachomer that he has to atone for those which he did on purpose. So Rashi sees Asher as praiseworthy. Ibn Ezra turns the pasuk around, Asher nasi echta. He says it's a nasi, im asher yechta nasi, meaning if the one who sins is a nasi, and then we still have it as an if. But the Sforno, and that's who the Netziv immediately quotes, if you look, Pasuk Aven, Asher nasi echta, Yadua hapirush, the nisiyato goremet shiye alo lachto. Ken katava Sforno. What does the Sforno say? Because he's president, because he's king, that's going to happen, that he will sin. It is now inevitable that he will sin. As a, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The king will sin. It's going to happen. It could be because he has a tougher job or he's in the spotlight. It could be because he's going to participate and associate with certain people. That means he's going to be more easily led astray. All those are possible, but it's inevitable. And therefore, the pasuk doesn't say im nasiyachta, if, but it's asher nasiyachta. When that happens, this is what to do. But it's going to happen. Now, if you look towards the bottom line of that column in the Netziv, he says, Hachi perusha, the mashmaut asher nasi, davka de nasiyoto garam lo shiyachta v'lo kishavar. He says, we're not talking about somebody who sinned, had a certain sin, and then became a nasi, and now we have to figure out what to do. We're talking about somebody who didn't do the sin, and now he's a nasi, he started doing the sin. So what is the Emek Davar going to add to the Sforno? Watch this. If you look at the Pasuk, there's a word that seems out of place. Asher nasi echta, when he sins, and he does an Avera, Asher lo ta'asena, that Hashem said not to do, bishkaga, inadvertently, Hashem, and he's guilty, and he says, "I'm guilty, and this is what to do." One word is out of place. It says, "Dechtiv asher lo ta'asena," says, "Don't do it, bishkaga, inadvertently." It's not that Hashem said, "Don't do it inadvertently." Hashem said, "Don't do it." He did it inadvertently. So where does the word vishkaga belong? It should be asher nasi echta vishkaga. When he sins inadvertently, one of those sins that Hashem said don't do. So why is the word vishkaga there? V'hachi mi bayi v'asa vishkaga achad v'gomar shilta l'sena v'ashem. Meaning, he moves the word vishkaga earlier. V'hachi k'tiv yachin. That's why it's in singular. Rather, what's the point of it? What do we learn from the pasuk saying asher nasi echta? What do we learn from the misplaced word vishkaga? Merumaz da nesiyut koremet lachto ba'avirut chamur kol kach asher lo te'asena vishkaga. It's not just that he's going to sin and it's inevitable because he's nasi. He is going to sin, and it's another nasi. But what kind of sins? Sins that are so chamor, so outlandish that you wouldn't fathom even doing them inadvertently. Shein derech lachtova hem afilu b'shkaga. There are sins you would. There are sins that you might do if you're led astray. There are sins you might do on purpose because you have a taiva, because you have yetzer hara for them. There are sins that you're sure you wouldn't do even by accident. Okay? If you think about the avodah zarah, so when you think about it logically, it makes no sense. Why would I do it avodah zarah? But suddenly, when you become king and you hang out with all these powerful people and there's all sorts of influences, you might be led astray to avodah zarah. And you can end up, because of this power, because of the power's ability to corrupt you, you can end up, it's not a nasiyah, asher nasiyachta, not only will you sin, it can end up that you're going to sin something so stringent you wouldn't have thought it possible to do it, even accidentally. Forget that you're going to maybe do it on purpose. That is the strength of the sin. That is the danger of power, of absolute power. That's what the Nitziv says. So he builds on the Sforno, saying it's inevitable, and Nitziv is saying further, not only is it inevitable, sinning is inevitable, maybe even for all humans, you know, we're humans. But it's inevitable for the king, but not only is it inevitable for the king, but the types of sins that the king or Nasi will end up doing are even on a different caliber than the types of sins that all of us end up doing. Ones that we wouldn't even consider, you know, in our lifetime, don't even happen to us accidentally, they become the pitfalls and part of the job of the leader. But the Nitziv is clearly building on this word, Asher, that's bothering all the Mefarshim. And I, you know, I wanted to comment on something that Rashi says here. Rashi says, Ashrei ador she'nasi shelo noten lev lavi kapara al shkagato, kavachomer shenchared al zonotav. Praise be the generation where the leaders are willing to admit fault. And that's something that really, really defines gadlut, defines greatness, defines being a leader. And that doesn't happen. Can you imagine any politician ever saying, oh, I was wrong. Yes, I voted for that, but I was wrong. They have to have like a great reason, because otherwise they're a flip-flopper and all their newspaper, oh, he said this and he changed his mind and you can't trust him. People can make mistakes, and it takes a great person to admit that he made a mistake. And I brought two examples here. And I just wanted to read a short passage from. One is from a Hanoch Teller's biography of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, entitled In From Jerusalem His Word. And on page 75, he describes Rav Shlomo Zalman's first year when he became Rosh Yeshiva, or when he was becoming Rosh Yeshiva. Maybe it was announced that he's becoming and he didn't become Rosh Yeshiva yet. This was the first year he gave publicly when that happened. So it says, in 1949, Rav Shlomo Zalman began delivering lectures at the Kol Torah Yeshiva. His very first year was attended by all the yeshivas Rabbanim, to award the youthful genius the respect and honor that he deserved. Midway through the lecture, Rav Yonatan Martzbach, a Rosh Yeshiva Kol Torah, posed a difficult question. Rav Shlomo Zalman paused for just a moment, contemplated the matter, and then confessed, I have erred, and went on to develop a second approach. He later conceded that his blunder had been exceedingly embarrassing. Although he had three distinct replies to the question posed, he felt that the question was still stronger than his answers. In any event, he thought it might be unseemly for a young lecturer like himself to dismiss the validity of the senior Rav's query. Rabbi Yonah Martzbach subsequently commented, I actually knew an answer to the question I had posed. I wanted to see how Rav Shlomo Zalman would deal with the issue. The fact that he admitted he had erred was for me the greatest shear of all. Rav Shlomo Zalman's actions at this, his very first shear, reflect his uncompromising position regarding Emes and Shalom that remained immutable throughout his life. Okay? It was an act of greatness that he said he was wrong. He could have just given an answer. He could have said, the question exists. Here's an answer. He said, I was wrong. That was an act of greatness. That's an act of greatness that's missing from our leaders today. Here's one more. This is from the collection of Hespedim on the Rav, known as Memories of a Giant, Eulogies in Memory of Rabbi Dr. Joseph E. Soloveitchik. And in the Hesped of Rabbi Riskin, and I could have sworn I saw it in two different Hespedim in this book, but I found it in this one first. So I quoted it from here. But it says that a guy asked the Rav a question in Shir, And the Rav said, you know, he didn't like the question. He said, how'd you get into my class, etc. And the class ended, and everybody emptied out. So the paragraph says, the Talmud class emptied out, and the next class came in. In those days, the Rav gave two classes back to back, and a few of us remained for the second class as well. Generally, the Rav would immediately close the Psachim and open the Orodea. This time, the Psachim remained open, and he placed his head in his hands in intense concentration. After almost 20 minutes, during which time no one breathed a word, he looked up to me. Who asked that question at the end of this year? Friedberg? Take me to him. The class remained seated, perplexed. The Rav strode out with me at his heels, and I led him to the Tovnao Dairy Restaurant, otherwise known as the Greasy Spoon, across Amsterdam Avenue. Everyone was shocked when the Rav entered the restaurant, immediately out of respect, jumping to their feet. From the corner of my eye, I caught Friedberg eating an omelet. His color had finally returned to his cheeks. His recovery was short-lived, however. The Rav immediately saw him. Friedberg! The hapless student began to tremble. The Rav continued, you were right, and I was wrong. Because of your question, I have to learn the passage all over again and completely rethink my interpretation. Thank you. The Rav returned to class and opened the Oradei as if nothing had occurred. That story to me, that he was so bothered by how he had acted and the fact he was wrong, and he was willing to admit he was wrong, and he wanted to, right then and there, I can't even go on, I have another class right now, I can't even go on with it. Take me to him and let's go across the street, the restaurant, let's find the guy, just to tell him I was wrong and you were right. That's the act of godless. And that's what made these people gdolim. And that is what's missing from all our gdolim, because the Netziv's words are still as applicable today as they were then. The leaders, they make mistakes. It's going to happen. It's going to be inevitable. That's that the Sforno said. And the Netziv says further, the leaders are going to make such drastic mistakes, ones that would be unfathomable to make. And that, unfortunately, we see is indeed the case. So let us learn the example from our great gedolim that we should admit fault when we're at fault.